Hi, I'm Marie.
And I'm Emily.
And we're registered dietitians who love to look at the research when it comes to all things diets and supplements.
With years of working with professional and collegiate athletes, we've seen it all, and we're here to set the record straight.
On this podcast, we break down popular diets and supplements to let you know what's legit
and what's BS.
RDs versus BS podcast. Today we have so much to get into. I'm not even going to dilly-dally. We're just going to jump straight into it. We are talking about Mindy Pels and her book, Fast Like a Girl, and all of her ideas surrounding eating for your menstrual cycle, or she even gets into eating for guys every once in a while. And her big thing is fasting and not fasting. And it's a lot. It's a mess. We'll get into it all. Before we get into everything, if you would like to support the show, you can receive all sorts of nutrition tips, recipes, and more. Join our Patreon at patreon.com/RDsVsBSpodcast. You can find it by checking out the link in the show notes or the link in our Instagram bio. And if you like our podcast, please be sure to subscribe, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, a 5-star rating on Spotify, and send us any topic suggestions by DMing us on our Instagram at RDs_VS_BS_pod or our contact page from our website, RDsVsBS.com. All right, before we get into the madness, Emily saw some shit at the grocery store. What was it this week?
I did. So this was actually at my parents' house when I was visiting them in Avon Lake, Ohio. They always have a basket on top of the fridge full of chocolate. It's just always been a thing since I was a kid. So I'm looking for chocolate. And I found this bar of chocolate that it's called Lily's Less Sugar Sweet Life. So I take a look and on the front, it looks very normal. It's just extra dark chocolate, 70% cocoa, blah, blah, blah. But their thing is that there's no sugar added. You start looking at the nutrition facts and everything looks normal. It's, you know, pretty high fat as chocolate is. But then you get to, if you're going from top to bottom, you get to the fiber section. And in one serving, not even the whole bar, in one serving is 8 grams of fiber. If you eat the whole bar, it's 21 grams of fiber. Instead of adding sugar, they add sugar alcohol. So there's erythritol, 12 grams per bar, 5 grams per serving. So like there's 0 grams of added sugar in this, but there's an insane amount of fiber and an insane amount of sugar alcohol. So like proceed with caution because people are probably eating this and having just digestive issues for the rest of the day. And I get why. Like, this is crazy. So yeah, be careful, I guess, when you're out there buying chocolate. This looked like a very normal chocolate bar, and it is pretty far from normal. Awesome. Okay. Should we get into Mindy Pels, Fast Like a Girl? This is probably one of our most requested episodes. I'm not going to read all of the listener submissions, but I want to read a few because I think it's interesting and gives some context. The one, I was really excited about this first one because it's a listener from the UK. So we love international listeners. She says, "Hi ladies, I love your show. I'm from the UK and been listening to a podcast by a health influencer, medic, and actual MD, Dr. Rupi, who is interviewing Dr. Mindy Pels. I was puzzled when Dr. Mindy said that a 36-hour fast allows you to tap into stored insulin, and then proceeded to relate a mouse study directly to human females. Naturally, I thought of you. What do you think of Dr. Mindy Pels and her Fast Like a Girl protocols?" Marie actually listened to this episode. The listener says the episode in question is, it's called the Doctor's Kitchen podcast, episode 216. And Marie took one for the team and listened to pretty much the whole thing.
And it was 2 hours I will never get back.
Oh, no. That's why I love that we both do this podcast. Because only one of us has to do the uncomfortable things every once in a while. So thank you for listening to that. Marie's going to talk through all of that later in the episode. Excited to dive in because we have so much to talk about.
All right, let's just get into it. So Dr. Mindy Pels. You might be thinking, oh, it's a doctor. We got another Dr. Mark Hyman on our mitts. Nope. We have a chiropractor. You guys know we love a chiropractor who now thinks that they're also a dietitian.
Yes. We love chiropractors like Nicole Short, who was on our episode, on our podcast and had such a good episode on chiropractors. But unfortunately, she, I feel like, is one in a million. Maddie, lots of chiropractors stepping outside their lane. And this is a perfect example of one.
So, of course, like when these people give their bios, like it's never, I did research in this and I worked in this lab and I studied this. It's like I was on this TV show and, you know, of course, so she was on The Doctors and Extra TV like that. Okay, you went on Extra TV like sick. You must really know nutrition. Like what a weird flex.
What even is that? What's Extra TV?
Like a TMZ type thing.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. So she's got a YouTube channel. She's like very active on social media and she has written 3 books, all on eating around various like life cycles with women or your menstrual cycle. So Fast Like a Girl is the one that we got questions about. And honestly, what she mostly talks about when she's like on podcasts or in her YouTube channel, and this is fasting and eating differently throughout your cycle relative to your menstrual cycle. And I will say that if you listen to our Eating for Your Hormones episode, and we talked about various things that people push, this was not even one of those. Like even some of the stuff that we talked about, like higher magnesium at different times of your cycle, and we were like, yeah, you know, maybe like might be a little bit annoying to think about and track, but yeah, there's a little validity there, right? Like this was not even like anything that we touched in that episode, because as you'll see, she very rarely, if ever, cites any evidence for any of her claims. So it wasn't even anything that we could really look into and see what the literature had to say, right? So her whole thing is that Fast Like a Girl, it's called, the tagline is, a women's guide to using the healing power of fasting to burn fat, boost energy, and balance hormones. And what is the most annoying thing about that sentence is that she claims that it's there just to help women get back to nature and use biology to their advantage, but yet we are promoting burning fat as the most important thing in the sentence. So it is a diet. Like she tries so hard to act like this isn't a diet and like fat loss is just some fun little side effect that you're going to get, but she always starts the conversation about how much fat you're going to burn. And if we're really just trying to like get in tune with nature and like optimize our cycles, that's not what we would be talking about. But here we are talking about a diet, pretending like it's not a diet.
And so frustrating. I feel like that's been the thing to do. Honestly, what I've noticed, she is first and foremost a salesperson. Like,
yes.
Sure, she's a chiropractor and a self-proclaimed fasting expert, but she's a salesperson. She knows like what's going to sell these books, how talking to this specific group of people, like women who want to lose weight, have been told that their hormones are out of balance, have tried all the diets, and oh, this is going to be the last one. It's your lifestyle. Like, as annoying as it is, she is smart and like knows the right things to say to make money. So Yeah, it becomes more and more apparent the more you learn about her. So some of the claims that Mindy Pell says you will get when your hormones are perfectly balanced following a fasting lifestyle, you will. And this is just, you know, the claims we hear for almost every single episode. Enjoy radiant glowing skin to look 10 years younger. Achieve deep, blissful sleep every night. Have more energy, restore the energy that flowed through your veins in your 20s and 30s, slow down or reverse the aging process, protect muscle mass, maintain a lightning quick metabolism, and clear the brain fog. Of course, she mentions brain fog. Just a bunch of crap. And the funny thing, like reading those, one thing that really stood out to me was she says, protect your muscle mass. It has been shown that most people who do intermittent fasting lose muscle mass. Like, it's just what the research shows. But it doesn't matter because Mindy barely cites anything in her book, and the things she does cite are usually just rat studies or really, really small human studies.
Of course, this book begins with Mindy telling us about her own personal experience, a la Vanni Hari, Food Babe, a la Dave Asprey. It is, busy, working, ate like shit. I decided to start fasting and help balance my hormones, and now all of a sudden I felt way better. Must be the fasting and not the fact that I've completely made my diet way better and just generally practice healthier lifestyle behaviors. Can't be that. Has to be the fasting, right? Another thing that she talks about is how she had a sudden miraculous recovery from what she called chronic fatigue syndrome that made it impossible to do the simplest daily life tasks. I'm going to tell you right now, if she did have some sort of true chronic disease that went undiagnosed, fasting did not cure it. Like, that's a ridiculous claim to make, right? She said she had a depressive haze that disappeared overnight. Okay, if fasting cured it, that means every time you went to bed and woke up the next day, your chronic disease would be gone. You know, like, it's so ridiculous. So, and like all these things that we give a red flag, it's the fact that there is one cause for all this whole host of issues that people can be experiencing. And for her, it is that all chronic diseases are caused by metabolic syndrome. Metabolic syndrome being, it's sort of a host of issues. Pre-diabetic have a certain elevated blood lipid panel and a certain level of body fat percentage. You are considered what's called metabolic syndrome. So she essentially blames all of this on every chronic disease, which right off the bat excludes many, many, many people who have chronic disease who don't have metabolic syndrome, right? Like, there are actual criteria for metabolic syndrome. And so what does she think is causing like celiac disease in somebody who has a normal BMI, has normal triglycerides, and doesn't have prediabetes? Like, what's that being caused by? She'll tell you insulin, but we can tell you right now it's not. She warns that if a woman decides to jump into a fasting lifestyle and doesn't time that fast to her menstrual cycle, adverse symptoms may appear such as hair loss, rashes, anxiety, missed cycles, thyroid problems, and trouble sleeping. These are all symptoms that can be avoided when a woman learns how to fast for her unique body. So like right off the bat, right? So she's blaming all chronic diseases, everything that could be wrong with you, on metabolic syndrome, which has objective criteria and that a lot of people don't meet. She then says that women should be fasting in a certain way, and we'll get to what that is. But then she says, not only if you do it wrong or you don't see positive results, it's your fault. You might experience as much as like rashes, anxiety, missed cycles, hair loss. I wish that fasting was that powerful, right? In either direction, either it cured everything or it caused hair loss if you did it wrong. But it's ridiculous to think that it will do either of those things. And it's right again, right off the bat, she's setting the diet up to be infallible. Because if it works for you, it's because of the diet. If it doesn't work for you, it's because you implemented it wrong for your unique body. And side effects may include anxiety, rashes, hair loss. Like, it's just, it's craziness. And I find it insane that she either truly believes or is peddling that something like fasting, which a lot of people do like accidentally because they don't eat breakfast or just have a busy day and don't have time to eat. And nobody is like losing hair, getting rashes, or causing anxiety because they, quote, did it wrong. Like, it's just like absolute insanity to me.
Right. And needless to say, I probably don't have to say this, but there is no research backing what she's saying here. Like, that's not true. In fact, there's no research at all on fasting and timing it up to your menstrual cycles. Like, there's no quality research out there. So let's dive in. I don't want to get too into the weeds in this. She divides the hormonal cycle into four phases, which already, yes, that exists. But then she gives fasting and dietary advice for each phase. So phase one, day one to day 10, And this starts on the first day of menstruation. So that is day one. In this phase, it's all about estrogen and insulin. And she's saying that estrogen production improves when blood sugar and insulin levels are low. Is this true? The research is not clear. And in some cases, it shows the exact opposite. So keep that in mind. But she's saying by fasting, you can keep insulin and blood sugar levels low, which will then help support estrogen levels. So she says on days 1 to 4, fast for 13 hours. On day 5, fast for 15 hours. On days 6 to 10, fast for 17 hours. Why? No idea. She just says to do that. So you have to like keep a calendar and know this is day 1 to 4, but oh, on day 5, it's 15 hours, but then day 6 to 10, it's 17 hours. Like, already that is so confusing. But then she gives dietary advice on top of that. So during these 10 days, you're only supposed to have a maximum of 50 grams of complex carbs and up to 75 grams of protein, and that more than 60% of your food should be in the form of quote-unquote good fats, specifically those naturally high in cholesterol.
I think she's saying that because like estrogen or estradiol is the same backbone as cholesterol. But yeah, just because you're eating a diet high in cholesterol doesn't mean that you're like upregulating the production of estrogen.
Right. So she calls this phase her ketobiotic phase, which is a combination. She made this up. This was not a thing before. It's a combination of ketogenic and probiotic. So it's a ketogenic diet, which we've talked a lot about, high fat, moderate protein, low carb, paired with foods that are good for your gut. This isn't even a keto diet. Like, this isn't putting anyone into ketosis. In phase 2, she says that you're supposed to help your body metabolize the hormones it's been producing. Your liver and gut are involved in hormone metabolism, so you're supposed to prioritize foods that nourish these organs, such as root vegetables and fruits.
Oh my God.
I didn't know those foods nourished specific organs. I mean, there's antioxidants, which is always, you know, a healthy thing, but that's just another Mindy Peltz recommendation there. You can have more carbs. You're supposed to fast for 15 hours, whatever. Phase 3 is like 3 days long and you're supposed to continue fasting, but follow the dietary guidelines from phase 1. And then phase 4, which is day 19 until you start again on day 1, you're avoiding fasting. And then during this phase, you eat the dietary guidelines from phase 2. So like, if you're not confused at this point, like, you're a superhero, because I am just saying it. I'm so confused. You really have got to be on top of it to know what day it is and which phase am I eating and what is my fasting. And if it worked, great. But like, there's no research behind this. So why are we putting in all of this effort to try to figure this out? And also, like, good time to mention, this is meant to be a quote-unquote lifestyle, not a diet, which implies long-term. So, like, you're supposed to follow this every month.
Yeah, I mean, this just reeks of somebody who got tunnel vision and just really honed in on following one metabolic pathway and, like, what could potentially upregulate and downregulate a hormone or two hormones. And again, there's a difference between like, sure, on paper, void of all other millions of chemical reactions happening simultaneously and all the other body systems that are also functioning and needed to have stuff that is upregulated and downregulated. Sure. Okay. I can follow the line of logic, but you cannot say that this is like 100% like how all human women need to be eating to quote maximize their hormones. And again, she always brings it back to fat loss and like keeping your fat off, which that's not necessarily a priority if you're just wanting to quote balance your hormones or optimize your hormones for your cycle. So it's just so tunnel visioned and we have no data in humans that backs any of this up. I think one of the kind of more ridiculous things about all of this is I'm sure Mindy, and we'll get into some wild things that she has to say about women and women nature, if you will. I'm sure she's anti-hormonal birth control, if I had to guess. But let me just pause and say, anybody that's on hormonal birth control, none of this shit, what you're eating, matters. Like, your medication is controlling your hormone production. All right, let's get into this idea of autophagy, because she seems really confused by what this is, even though she talks about it like she really knows what's going on. So, oh God, okay, so we've talked about this in our fasting episode. Autophagy is something that happens whether or not you are fasting. It is your body's process of identifying a cell that is replicating incorrectly and killing it, like self-death, basically. This happens all the time. This is how we like keep cancer from starting. Or it can just be sometimes when your DNA is creating proteins, it'll make the protein incorrectly every once in a while, and just kind of like cleaning that out of the cell. Again, this is happening whether or not you are fasting. Now, as we discussed in the fasting episode, it typically happens at a higher rate when you are in a calorie deficit. So whether that's because you're in a fasted state or because you're just eating less calories, even though you're not in a fasted window, that will happen at a higher rate. It will happen at a slower rate if you are in a calorie surplus. So she highlights that fasting will increase autophagy. True, in the moment, the second that you shove your face with food, as soon as the fast is over, the autophagy will actually then decrease. So it's a net neutral if you just wind up eating the same amount of food that you would have anyways, but whatever. So she basically claims that fasting can shut down any viral replication from happening. And she was talking about this in context of COVID-19. And in that podcast that I unfortunately listened to, she went so far as to say that COVID would have been eradicated if everybody had just been doing intermittent fasting.
Whoa. That is a crazy claim. And catches people's attention, right? I'm sure people are like, wow, a doctor's saying that. It must be true. We should all fast.
So I don't know. She didn't reference this study. She said there's some study in 2020 about COVID-19 and fasting. It's not referenced. Like, it's so funny. Whenever she brings up a study, she never like actually cites it so people can go and read it. She's like, oh, I read this study from blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's like, okay, can you tell us, you know, what it was? It's, again, just this way over-exaggerated claim about the power of fasting. She always talks about resetting, repairing. She says it reduces the recurrence of cancer. Like, again, you are putting too much emphasis on this thing that it's like, yes, we know that you have a slightly higher rate of autophagy when you're fasted. But again, the second that you eat, that higher rate goes away. And how much of an impact is this really having? And your body is performing autophagy whether or not you are doing intermittent fasting. You cannot claim that it's this magical thing that will cure COVID, keep viruses from replicating, cure cancer, keep cancer from coming back, keep you perfectly healthy, keep you from all chronic disease. But then it's so powerful that if you do it wrong, you're going to like have eczema and anxiety. And like, it's just insane to me.
I mean, you listen to her. Does she sound like convincing and confident? Like if you didn't know. Yeah. She has a huge following. So once again, we are faced with a person who is like smart. She's talking a bunch of BS, but like she's smart. She's charismatic and people are following her and taking what she's saying to be true when a lot of it is not true at all. It's infuriating. And it's just so funny because the more I learn about her, the more she like checks all of the boxes of the things that we typically hear with these kind of people. But where things kind of took a turn where I really started to get mad was when she talks about our interactions with hunger and our interactions with people around us. There's this line in the book that says, watch out for food buddies, those women you have bonded with over food. So she's basically saying, and again, Are we talking here about like living a healthy and vibrant, full of energy life? Or are we just talking about weight loss? Because this sounds like a super crazy diet advice. Stay away from friends who all, you know, when you hang out, you go get dinner or whatever. That's crazy.
Well, Emily, it's because your cycles aren't synced up. So you're going to be on different fasting timelines. You can't possibly have female friends.
No. She also talks about what to do when you're hungry, which is basically not eat. She says, hunger is the elephant in the fasting room. And this is what she says to do in this order. And just a preface here, don't do these things. Like, I hesitate to even say them, but it's crazy. The first thing she says to do is ask yourself, am I hungry or bored? She suggests distracting yourself to find out. Then, if you're truly hungry and not bored, try a packet of minerals, because surely that's where the hunger is coming from. You just need minerals. If that doesn't work, try a fasted snack, such as an MCT fat bomb. Delicious.
Okay, I'm going to let you finish.
And then the last thing, if all of that doesn't work, she suggests a prebiotic powder in water, coffee, or tea. What?
Or you could just eat. I'm so sick of these people thinking that you can eat a fat and still be fasted. If you ingest any calories, you are not fasted anymore. It doesn't matter if it is carb, protein, or fat. There is nothing magical about consuming fat and somehow staying fasted. That is literally not possible.
No. No. But this, it's just been so pervasive in all of these fasting communities that you can. It's like a hack. It's Prolon, the whole idea, which we talked about forever ago. But it's basically this idea, like eat a pack of olives. You'll still be fasted. Like, no, you won't. Crazy. And we could go on and on and on. But I want, Marie, I want you to talk about the podcast episode because I think we need to give that a decent amount of time.
Oh my God. I'm still going to try and run through this really quickly, but it was bad, you guys. Like, it was bad. I don't even know where to start. I'm just going to go in chronological order.
Great.
So she starts off, she's discussing how somehow her diet in which you time restrict and therefore food restrict is not a diet and not reducing calories. So she said, calories in, calories out doesn't work. It's about fasting. And I'm like, which is still calories in, calories out. But you're thinking about it in terms of time restriction, but it's still calorie restriction. So, all right. It's annoying that she tries to act like somehow the laws of thermodynamics don't apply to her diet and like anybody who experiences weight loss. And then she talks about how not only is like a stereotypical calories in, calories out diet not going to help you have weight loss, you also can't just regular fast. Like intermittent fast. You have to make it complicated and do what she calls feast fasting, which is her whole idea of like sometimes you're fasting 16 hours, sometimes it's 15, sometimes it's 10, sometimes it's not at all. And follow her, pay her, she'll tell you the secret, right? So it's like you can't even do like good old fashioned intermittent fasting anymore. You got to do her ultra complicated way of fasting to make it actually work. She goes in this whole tirade about how the modern world is making us sicker and sicker, she said. And it's not just her. And you know what? Like, I want to make this point. I'm really fucking tired of these people coming on here and acting like life is so terrible and we're so sickly in our modern day and age. I would love Mindy Pels to go back 100 years and try and survive. Life expectancy is higher than ever. And I understand what they're saying. Like, we have all these environmental things that we are exposed to that we haven't been in the past, but you cannot tell me that we are less healthy than we were. Because I'm like, the way that people romanticize the past and somehow it was like easier and healthier back then, we used to throw shit outside of our windows. You know what I mean? Before we had sewage. Like, go back to the Victorian age where you're literally walking down the streets of France and there's shit everywhere and you die of tuberculosis when you're 12. Like, that's the world you want to live in? Instead of the one where, like, you're afraid to smell a scented candle because of the toxins? Seriously?
I can't.
Or, hey, Mindy, why don't you go back to the hunter-gatherer days that you seem to love so much and die of childbirth? Is that where you want to go back to? Like, it's so irritating to me the way that we talk about, oh, back in the days before we processed our food. It's like, oh, back in the days when women had to have 12 kids because 11 of the 12 died before they were five. And then you died in childbirth on the 13th kid. That's what you want to go back to? Like, sure, let's go back to that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, she's one of many who tout this, you know, we had it right in the Stone Age. We had it right back then. And yeah.
And what's crazy, too, she keeps talking about how this is like an ancestral diet, because it's like there'd be days where we like had easy access to food and then we'd go 3 days without it. And like we'd have to go find more food. And I'm like, do you think women were cycle syncing and fasting according to your book back then, Mindy?
Different amount of hours every day and different grams of carbs every day. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. God. Like, so this is, does not even have any sort of ancestral backing to it, right? Like, this is all just insane. Okay. This is how I knew she didn't know what keto was or ketosis was. She said, we can go into keto a little bit. She was talking about like the moderately low carbohydrates. She's like, yeah, we can just kind of go into keto a little bit was a phrase that she used. It's like, you are either in ketosis or you're not. And it takes like a week to get there. So this whole idea of like, you can go into keto for 1 hour and then pop on out of it. And like, you know, no, you're either like really diligently restricting carbs for about a week, you know, anywhere like 4 days to a week and getting into a state of ketosis. And then you have to only eat high fat to stay there, or you're not. Ketosis is a medical term that means that the ketone levels in your blood are at a certain level. So you can't just pop in and out of ketosis all willy-nilly. You can change what fuel source you're using, whether you're primarily using fat or primarily using carbs. But that's not, just because you're burning more fat in the moment doesn't mean you're in ketosis. She has a total misunderstanding of what that is. All right. So this is where it got really weird for me. And she was saying some real off the wall stuff. Like, she was weirdly misogynistic. It was bizarre. She's basically talking about like how hormones affect women. And she said things like, if she owned a company, she'd sync all the women's periods up and throw them in a room when the estrogen was the highest, because that's when women have good ideas.
What?
She said that women are really only sexually excitable about 1 week out of the month, and that their husbands should learn when that week is. So that's when they should pursue her and they should leave her alone for the rest of the month.
Oh, this is weird. I feel like this could be like a Black Mirror episode.
Yes. She said that there are only certain times of the month in which a woman will think logically, and that we should only problem solve during certain times of the month. She also says, why would a woman lift more than once a month when her testosterone is higher? I don't know, Mindy. Maybe because some women just like to lift. Like, it's, and she kept going about all these examples of like how our hormones have such control over the female body and we should lean into that. Could you imagine if a man said those things?
Oh,
quickly
God.
He'd be canceled. But somehow, since it's a female doctor chiropractor, it's like, oh, she might be right. Like, we really are illogical only 1 week out of the month.
Oh, it's insane.
There's so much bad stuff. I'm trying to parse out like the really bad stuff. She says your whole microbiome repairs so that the bad bacteria will be sloughed off when you're fasting.
Oh my.
And we're talking the context of like a 15-hour fast. So we have had how many episodes talking about how even doing stuff like probiotics, we don't even know if that impacts your gut. She's going so far as to say when you're sleeping at night and don't wake up and immediately eat breakfast, your entire microbiome repairs, all of your bad bacteria sloughed off, and you're reset. This episode was so chaotic. Every 10 seconds, I'm like getting hit in the head of like some other craziness that she's saying. The best evidence when it comes to the microbiome is we don't know how to change it. We don't know how to change it once it's set. Minnie's over here saying, just fast. You'll slough off your bad stuff. And again, we're not even talking about a long fast in these, when she's saying these things. She's talking about like 12 hours. Okay, then she talks about how in typical diets, she's like, oh, you know, like you go on the diet, you lose the weight, And then you go back to your old habits and you gain the weight back. And then she was like talking about how her plan was different. And I'm like, okay, but if somebody follows your plan and is time restricting and food restricting, which is calorie restricting, and then goes off of your plan and inevitably gains the weight back on, like, how is this any different? It's like she's so close to kind of like finally connecting the dots to realize that they're not any different. Right. But she doesn't quite ever get there. She, of course, says to the doctor, I hope your audience knows that bad fats like cottonseed oil and canola oil make you insulin resistant, which has no evidence behind it. So now we're getting into the demonizing of seed oils, just out of left field, like literally came out of nowhere. They were talking about nothing to do with that. And then she just threw that in there. And then I do want to mention, lastly, again, very chaotic episode, lots more I could say on it. But for the sake of time, I did want to bring up the mice study that our listener asked about. So, she talks about how fasting is a gut reboot, like I just said, and that the evidence that she cites is from a study in mice from MIT, which, again, she doesn't actually cite the study, so I couldn't actually find it, because turns out MIT does a lot of studies on mice and the gut microbiome. Anyways, so here's the thing, though. So first of all, she said something like, while, yes, it's done in mice, it's a good arrow pointing us in the direction, which I was like, yes. And then your next sentence should be, but more research is needed. But no, she goes, sure. And so we can pretty much apply it to human females. And I was like, oh, okay. We almost got there. What's crazy to me is she's talking about this mice study, right? And again, I couldn't find it. And there are different types of mice that you can use. But I used to work, like very briefly, I worked in a lab that looked at the microbiome in mice. And here's the thing about mice that they use in laboratories. They purposefully don't have a microbiome. They get rid of the gut bugs in these mice. So how can you possibly say that you did a study on mice, which I'm assuming do not have a microbiome to start off with, and then you now have such conclusive evidence that female humans will slough off their bad bacteria and have a total gut reboot and like support their insulin production based off of this rat study that more than likely did not actually have any sort of microbiome in it to speak of?
It's frustrating. It's so frustrating. I mean, God, it's just so, so much wrong about what she's saying. And at the end of the day, you know, what her argument is that people should be fasting and that women should time it up to their cycle. So, like, I think we've done a good job of going through and being like, most of the stuff she's saying is wrong. But, like, what is the takeaway here? Is the Fast Like a Girl book as a whole BS? Yes. If you define BS as she is saying things that has no scientific backing, yeah. It's true. Like, there is no research showing that fasting and doing it according to your menstrual cycle there's just not research there showing that it does anything in particular. Like, other than just regular fasting and even regular intermittent fasting. Well, no, there's no research showing it'll do all the horrible things that she says it will if you don't time it up to your menstrual cycle. There is some evidence there, which we talked about in the intermittent fasting episode, but quality evidence on humans with lots of participants, it's just not there yet. None at all for me to say you should do it around your cycle. Like, everything she is saying is either false or theoretical. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you like fasting, if you naturally stop eating at 7 and don't eat breakfast until 10, great. That's fine. Again, it's not something that, like Mindy saying, if we all fasted, COVID-19 wouldn't be a thing. That is obviously not true. And also what's not true is that we would all be healthier if we fasted. Not true. We are all different people whose bodies respond to nutrition in a different way. So yeah, throw this one out or throw it in the fire if you bought this book, because it's one of the crazier ones. We shouldn't be surprised anymore on this podcast, but I am.
Yeah, and I feel like if anybody has had success following that plan, it's probably just because they cleaned up their eating habits. Again, none of this is magical. There's nothing about her fasting programmatics that are doing anything magical.
Yeah, 100%. Yes. So I think we said it all. We could say more, but for the sake of time.
We
could say more.
We have like 4 more pages of notes, but we're skipping a lot of it.
It's okay. I think we got the most important stuff in there. But as always, thank you to our listeners who sent in this topic. It was obviously a very good one. We had a lot to talk about. And if you have a topic that you're curious about, if you have a question for us, definitely reach out. We would love to hear from you. And if you haven't yet, check out the Patreon. But until next time, I'm Emily.
And I'm Marie.
And don't let the BS get the best of you.